Give us rest, rest in our souls. So we bless you for this opportunity, Lord. Amen. Amen. All right. So this week, we felt that we really needed to find a place of rest. We'd been really pumping it out for a couple of weeks and going for it. And you get into that space, you kind of think, I need a breath. I just need to breathe a moment and just rest a bit. And so we thought about, let's do a week of rest. So how many of you really enjoy the week of rest? The visitors, you don't have to really complain about that if you didn't rest. But for the rest of you, did you rest? Some of you didn't. I can see it in your faces. Kind of like while you're resting, you're thinking about work. And while you work, you think about resting. It's kind of like in that space, that busy space. Anyway, they speak about rat races. And the strange thing about rat races is that even if you win the race, you're still a rat. So you can choose. Okay. So end of story. Let me get on with it. And let me get on to the preach. Matt had a dream that I was going to preach for 2 minutes. So I'm done now. You guys can go home. All right. It's nice to dream those kind of dreams. And yeah, but it doesn't fit. It didn't fit the profile of what today is about. So I'm really going to talk to you about rest because I think rest is something that we misunderstand and we try and interpret it in our own way. And rest seems to be that I need to rest from something. I need to get away from it all kind of thing, whether it's at work or you're just a busy space. But the way of the Word, the way of the Lord for us is to rest in and not rest from. And sometimes we make the divide. We try and divide ourselves between the working me and the resting me, or the working me and the church me. The one that comes to a meeting like this. And Mike, you said the guys can sleep around about which time should they go to sleep now? Anytime. No time now. In an hour time, you can sleep. But while I'm preaching, you're not allowed to sleep. So, but here it is. Have you ever wondered why God rested on the seventh day? Anybody? Why did God rest? Did he need rest? He didn't need rest. So why did he rest? What for? What for? So I'm trying to find an answer, kind of like a spiritual answer, but I just get nods from your head. And I'm really trying to look for an answer. What is the reason that God rested? And then to make it even a little more complicated, he says to us that we need to rest. So what does that look like? And I think we try and interpret that, and we forget really what it means, why God rested. And the thing that I found out of it, and in a simple way, and I'm really trying to find words, and I don't know how to put the words. What did God get out of rest? What did God get out of the rest? Did he need the rest? He didn't need the rest. That's obvious, very obvious. God is in control. He's very powerful, all-powerful. He is. That is him. So I thought of the word complete. And I think that is a good word to actually try and describe that moment. Just in my language, in my understanding of what God was doing, he was complete. He was just God. He didn't have anything to do. He had finished everything that he wanted to do. He had accomplished. So all of those things, the creation, the whole of creation. And I mean, the thing that still amazes us. In 6,000 years, we still haven't found out everything of what God had created. But he was complete. Complete, just complete. And I think to some degree, that's exactly what God wants us to find in our rest, a completeness. But how do we find a rest in completeness? We're always so busy. We're trying to do, to do, to do, to do. And if you're trying to think this morning, this is an opportunity for me to really take off and go into that mode of doing nothing, that's not what it's about. Because our rest is not from something. It is a rest in something, and more particularly someone called Jesus, someone called our God, and he desires us to rest. In Hebrews 4 and verse 9, it says this: there remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. How many of you understand Sabbath? We're not going to get in the technicalities of whether it's Saturday or Sunday or Monday, which day is the Sabbath. Actually, is from Friday night, 6 o'clock, until Saturday, 6. That's the real, in terms of days, that's the Sabbath. But do we understand Sabbath? But God has given us a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest, the rest that we just spoke about a moment ago, that God rested, we are entering into God's rest. We also rest from our works, just as God did from His. Let us, therefore, make every effort. Do you hear that word? Make every effort to enter in to God's rest. And I think that is the purpose of this morning, really, to try and find the effort. What is the effort that we need to find that rest, the rest that God has, the rest that God has ordained for us to live in and satisfy the longings of our life? The rest. So it's becoming fully us, to be complete, to find that place. But we cannot find it in ourselves or our own strength or our own works. Because if we really wrestled it down to the ground today, we would be struggling with the power of sin. Because the power of sin is very powerful and will leave us in a place of total unrest. Total unrest. So I'm looking for that, the soul rest, the rest of my soul. A powerful, and of course, there is the powerful opposite. And you can call it restless or weary. And there's a ton of names that we can actually add to this list. You could be anxious. You could be nervous. It's all a place of unrest. It's all a place of work, panic, disturbance, commotion, irritability, cheerfulness, lethargy also. Sometimes people are just plain, I can't do this anymore, and they just sit around hoping that they will find some form of rest in this. Sleeplessness, moodiness, whatever, and you can name a whole bunch of names. And I don't have to go through all of those names. They're all things that lack rest. All of the things. All your anxieties, all your troubles. So I really need to find this place. And how do we deal with this fire? Because somehow the fact that we're anxious creates more anxiety. And it's almost like a self-consuming fire that consumes itself. And the more fire we add to the fire, the more the fire needs fire, and it continues to burn, and it burns us up, gets us to a point where we are so unrested. And then out of that come all the issues, the things that we have to deal with. How serious is not having rest? How serious is it? You think, oh well, it's just a little thing, I'll go on holiday and it's all over. And most of us will go on a holiday and we'll come back and we feel unrested. Why is that? What is it? It's because we're trying to find rest in something that doesn't give us rest. It doesn't give us rest. Rest comes from God because God rested. And He actually made it a command. And I don't want to go down the route of trying to say, okay, let's do the Old Testament. But there is a New Testament way of understanding this. And we are going to get to it in a moment. It is really serious. How do we fix burnout? Any of you have been burnt out? I'm sure some of you may have experienced a near burnout or even have experienced a burnout. What about depression? Is depression not also an expression of our restlessness? And I'm not saying all depression is, but sometimes it's a chemical depression. And other times it is just something that we're lacking in terms of our rest. We don't find our rest. The brokenness, shipwrecked lives, marriages. Marriages that are broken up just because we don't know how to rest. We're always working. What about the absent fathers that we speak about so often? And so often we cry and say, it was because my father was never present that I am who I am. I'm broken because of his absence. He didn't know how to rest. He was always working. You come home and you complain about him not being in your life. And then he would say, but I'm working for you. I'm doing this for you. Marriages break up and they use the same excuse. I'm working for you. But we don't know how to rest. So it's quite a serious thing. In fact, churches go wrong. Ministries go wrong because people don't know how to rest. Go wrong. Just work, work, work. Busy. The complaint that people often have when they want to see their minister or their leader or their pastor, they say, but you're so busy. So why is it that we have this concept of busyness and rest? It's all messed up. So I want to read or take you into a story in 1 Kings 19. So I'm not going to be true to everything that the verses present to us, but let's tell the story as it goes from the scriptures. And it's around about Elijah. Anybody know who Elijah is? Okay, one of the great prophets. In fact, I think he was one of the guys that never died. Okay? You remember that? Taken up in a chariot by God? Never died. So it's one of the few that never died. Okay. And we see him appear time and time again. And there's something in the scripture that talks to us, and in James 5, I think it is, it says that Elijah was a man just like us. So, okay, that's pretty cool. So what's this about? Anyway, let's get to the story. Now, the background of the story, let me just quickly relate to that. The background of the story is this, that Elijah had just been on Mount Carmel, and Mount Carmel was a place that he actually set up a sacrifice for God, and the challenge was with 400 priests of Baal, the other god that people worshipped and served, and the challenge was that he was going to demonstrate who's the best god, the god that brings fire. And he said to them, he challenged them and said, now you guys call on your god for fire. And it went on for a whole day. And they called and they cried and they cut themselves and they ran around, these 400 priests of Baal. And then he just stood there and he built an altar, poured water on the altar, and God sent the fire. So guess who won that argument? It was Elijah. Now, this is just what happens. After that, he killed those 400 prophets of Baal. He killed them. I don't know if he did the job himself, but I mean, there's pretty a lot of work to do. But anyway, it seems like he did kill them. So it says, now Ahab was the king at the time, the king who ruled over these Baal priests, the king, and he told Jezebel, which was his wife, the queen, he told everything that Elijah had done and how he had killed the prophets with a sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say this, may the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life as like one of them. And Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. It's a crazy thought. Here was a man that challenged 400 prophets, and one woman, imagine that, one woman speaks out a word and said, I'm going to kill you just as you killed my prophets. And he ran for his life. Why? Consider the thought that goes behind that why. Why did he run? What was wrong? Let's go on. And so Elijah was afraid and he ran for his life. And when he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there. And while he himself went a day's journey further into the wilderness, he came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. I've had enough, Lord. Does that sound familiar? I've had enough. And have you ever had enough? Many times, I'm sure. I've had enough. Whether it's I've had enough of my wife, okay, sorry, ladies, or I've had enough of my husband, or I've had enough of the kids, or whatever it is, I've had enough of work, I've had enough, I can't take it anymore. But Elijah takes it one step further and he says that he prayed actually and said, I want to die. Take my life, Lord, I've had enough. I'm no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him. So you ever heard of the story called Touched by an Angel? Way back. Those of you that remember the series on TV, Touched by an Angel, this is where it comes from. Okay, touched by an angel. But actually, if you understand the Hebrew word for touch, it was like he thumped him. He gave him a whack. Said, wake up. You're tired. That's what he said to him. The angel said, you're tired. You have taken a long journey. And I'm cutting out a couple of the verses there. But the angel came to him twice and touched him twice. So he had a double touch by an angel. And the angel thumped him the second time and said, take, eat. And then with that food that he received from the angel, he went on a journey for 40 days and 40 nights without sleep. Okay, now that's pretty cool if you think about it. Okay, let's go on. So, in verse 8, so he got up and ate and drank, strengthened by that food, and he traveled for 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. And there he went into the cave to spend the night. The Lord, and the word of the Lord, now where did that word come from anyway? And the word of the Lord came to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? And maybe that's a question that you need to answer this morning. If you are tired and weary, what are you doing here? Why are you like this? And you can understand that the story that I'm telling you today is a story about tiredness, weariness, unrest, the unrestful space of not in control, whatever the unrest was. But it came upon Elijah, and God was going to deal with him. What are you doing here? God asked him. And he gives God an answer. And the answer that God was not looking for. It was like a blame answer. It's because of them. It's because the Israelites don't serve you. Because of the priests of Baal. They're out there. And because there's nobody, it's just me. I'm all alone. There's nobody to help me. I'm tired. I'm weary. I'm carrying the weight of serving you. I'm carrying the weight of being your prophet. I'm carrying whatever it was that he was arguing with in his heart. But this is what he told God. And so after all of this, the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he pulled the cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. The God in the whisper. So maybe God is wanting to whisper us today at the question that he's asking you. Why are you here? Can you hear the whisper? What does it mean if somebody is whispering to you? Like it's real quiet. You have to draw nearer. You have to listen carefully. So perhaps that's really what God wanted from him, to draw nearer to him. I have had enough. So we can relate to the story in some way or another. Maybe we're not Elijah. Maybe we're not in that same place. But God said through his word that we are just like Elijah. We are just like him. What about Jezebel? Jezebel, a picture of evil, a picture of the enemy, steal, kill, destroy, wanting to take more from our lives. Is our world not full of steal, kill, and destroy? Everything built around an economy of consumerism? Because that's all it's about. And if you think of the world as so driven by consumerism, it makes us tired and weary. Continually demanding. People say it's time to go on retirement. When I'd put my heart out to come to Azefontein, people in the congregation said, well, you deserve it. Now you're going to a place of rest. Okay? All right. Explain that to me. How did that work? Anyway, I don't feel it. I don't feel anxious about the reality of being in Azefontein. I love it here, and I love the people here, and I love what I'm doing. So I don't need that kind of rest. I need a different kind of rest. That's not the struggle that of my heart. But there is a Jezebel out there, a fire starter, something that triggers us, brings a fear in us. Because I think sometimes our anxieties and our unrest is caused by fear. A fear of not accomplishing or not earning enough or not living enough or not doing enough or not having enough. Our whole life is filled with that whole panic of finding more and more and more, and I want more and more and more. And the more I get, the less I really enjoy what I feel I need is rest, the rest. So, the story is so Old Testament. So Old Testament. I don't need that story in my life. I'm not like Elijah. I don't live with kings. I don't live in a place where the prophets of Baal are out there and all the rest. I don't live in that world. I don't have to fight that fight. I think our world is a little more different. To some degree, even worse than what was going on in those days. So let's find a way to do Sabbath, the rest that God is speaking about. But that's really what I want to turn this whole thing around from. The place that we are striving for is actually found in Jesus. It's actually found in God and found in His ways. Rest like I rested. Well, what do you mean, God? Rest like I rested. I can't rest like you rest. I wasn't a creator. I didn't do all the... And if we get away from the doing part and getting into the place of resting, because really and truly speaking, we need Jesus to show us how. And so there's a formula, if you want a formula, if you're looking for a formula, that is given to us that reads just like that's what Sabbath should really be about. And the formula is found in these words in Matthew 11. Matthew 11, 28 says this, come to me. In fact, the Hebrew or the Greek word in the original text, come to me, is actually say, come here to me. It's not just come to me, like just a broad statement washing over all of us saying, come to me. So where are you? And he says, come here to me. That's a true word from that scripture. Come here to me. All of you that labor. And labor is not just like work, but toil of weariness and trouble, things that consume us, that eat us up, that bring us into that place where we are burnt out, lacking. Toil, labor, and heavy laden, the overburdened ones with anxiety, attention, demanding burdens, disturbing rest. And Jesus says, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. And then he goes on to say, take my yoke upon me, upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle. I am gentle and humble, lowly of heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So what do you understand by yoke? Any of you, what do you understand by yoke? It means it's a workload, is it not? It is a workload. But you know, in the truth of it all, there's another place where a yoke appears, and it's actually in a scale, a balance scale. And it's called the beam of balance. That is a yoke. And it's where the scale rests on. Is that beam of balance. And Jesus said, I want you to take that upon yourself, the beam of balance. He brings the balance and he creates. And if you move and if you understand anything about a fulcrum, where you put the fulcrum, wherever you put that beam, it creates a lighter weight at the one end and a heavier weight at the other end. And it can actually balance on that. So I know I'm not doing this very well, but just using the mic. But understand this, that that's what Jesus does for us. Take my yoke upon you. In other words, the part that you would presume to be light, and you take that upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let me read that same verse from the Message Bible. The Message Bible says this, are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burnt out on religion? Come to me and get away with me. And you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take the real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it and learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. So it's not difficult to understand how we get into our mess, is it? I think we can quite easily get into that place where we are so weary and tired. And the weariness is a mess. There are times that sin causes that weariness, or addictions. Think about it, and I want to use just maybe one example of that, compulsive screen time. How we get into that screen time thing and I know the cell phone is part of it, and I'm not fighting with you guys, because we're all part of it. There's one thing, and I want to make that as a confession. I don't find it easy to rest. I'm always looking for something else, and I've got to constantly remind myself. Even as I prepared this message, I was struggling against the fact that it feels like work. It feels like I have to get something done here. And I mean, the more I get into it, the more I delve into the scriptures, the more I find there's a way that God has already appointed and ordained for us to live in a place of rest, that we don't have to strive. How many of you feel that coming to church is a work that I have to accomplish? Or praying is something that I have to do that takes so much of my time? And yet in all of that taking of the time, it's actually finding a place of sweet rest in the greatness and the presence. Like God rested. He was fully, He was complete, He was Himself. And He wants us to be in Him, complete and rested in Himself. So there are many seasons in our life that bring a lot of strife in our lives. And if some of you, and I'm looking across the audience here, some of you may be in midlife. Whether you're a man or a woman, you're in midlife somewhere. And what's the middle of your life? And it actually brings a season of change in us. There are things that we start not wanting to do because we want to enjoy that time of our midlife. And we really do. Too much and not enough time to do it. Too much to do. And I think that's kind of like the strife of many of our lives, that there's too much. It's almost like anxiety is the anxiety of hurry is on steroids. It's just like there's just more and more of it. And I don't have to explain these things to you guys. You fully understand. You're nodding your heads like you all know exactly what I'm talking about. So I didn't even have to prepare this. You already got the job done for me. But I'm saying it because I want you to be reminded of the many things that distract us. Compulsive overworking. It's the adrenaline of brokenness, actually. Something broken inside of you that you just feel you have to work and work and work to prove something. How many young men have grown up trying to prove to their dad something? And that adrenaline of brokenness has actually broken them and brought a wound in their lives and their hearts. So, together with all of that, there is a slippage in our relationship with God, because very often our busyness keeps us away from God, does it not? Keeps us away from our prayer times. We find it like, it's an effort. I've got to get up and do my quiet time. And in our quiet time, we'll find absolute rest. Our time with God brings that rest. He said, come here to me, all of you that labor and heavy laden. Should it not be the prayer of our lives? Should it not be the understanding of our lives? That every day, and I think this is the economy that God brings to our life, that we need to do this every day. That is not something that you do on Sunday to be reminded I have to rest, the day of rest, Sunday. I don't know. It's not. It used to be. There used to be no shops open on Sunday. Can you remember those days? Any one of you? Yeah, of course. There are some of you that are in that age group. But today, if the shop is not open on Sunday, I'll never shop there again. Just don't lie to yourself. You probably will. You'll get up on Monday morning. I want to see the manager. You guys weren't open yesterday. All right, I'm teasing you. So how do we sort out this restlessness? How do we really get it together? Number one, we need to start with the statement, I've had enough. We need to say that in our own hearts. I've had enough. I've had enough. I need a different answer. I cannot carry on like I'm carrying on. I cannot do this in my own way, on my own strength. I've had enough. But you need to start there. You need to acknowledge. You need to acknowledge that the people that struggle with alcoholism need to acknowledge that they're struggling with alcoholism. It's almost like you need to get to that place of saying, I've had enough. I've had enough of the way I'm doing it. That's really what you need to say. And then the second thing that we need to do is answer the question that God is saying to us. And the question is, what are you doing here? Why are you here? Am I not enough? Is my grace not sufficient for you? Are the ancient paths not the way that I've chosen for you to walk in, the way that you walk? And if you learn to walk in the rhythms of my grace, if you learn to walk in the way that I've ordained for you to walk, then you would not be in a place of saying, I don't have it anymore. So, we need to reboot. You know what reboot means? Well, I don't like to consider myself being a laptop or a computer of any sort, but every now and again, sometimes your laptop or your computer gets so confused with all the instructions that you're giving it, that it's totally confused and stops working or starts going really askew. You know what I'm talking about. Anybody out there? A lot of you guys into the techno world, you understand exactly what I'm saying. And what is the best thing to do when your laptop or your computer gets into that state? We used to have a call center that was ordained especially to say these words. Switch it off and switch it on again. Switch it off and switch it on again. And that's a reboot. And it allows the computer to actually sort itself out. Because in that time of you trying to sort it out by pressing another button, giving another instruction, and putting out there, it brings a confusion to the technology that you're actually controlling right at that moment. And the only way to fix it is to switch it off and switch it on again. And suddenly it just goes well. Oh, wow. Simple as that. But how do we switch off? I'm not a laptop. I'm not a computer. My life may be as confused as a computer would be. And I'm not functioning as best as I should function anymore. And I don't know how to do it. But then I need to listen to the words of Jesus. Come here to me, all of you that are confused, all of you that are struggling with the busyness of your life. Come to me, all of you that are laboring and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you my kind of rest, the rest that will help you through it all. But understand this, friends, that we cannot save ourselves. None of us can. None of us can save ourselves. We cannot save ourselves from sin. The power of sin is powerful enough to destroy each one of us, every one of us. And even if you find Christ, how often we try to help ourselves after that. Every time you make a mistake, you've got to get up and try again. I've got to do it on my own strength and my own power. And God is saying, no, you cannot save yourself. We need to intentionally go to God with all our hearts. We don't have to soldier on like that this thing doesn't exist, because we are going to fail at it. So I'm going to close now this morning. Your question is, what are you doing here? Question that God would ask you. So what are you doing here? Why are you struggling? Why don't you come to me? Come here to me, and I will give you rest. Come into my Sabbath, a place where you stop, where you cease running. Rest completely, holistically, all of you. Sometimes we bring the divide into our lives and say, well, this is my work life and this is my church life. In my church life I can rest, and my work life I can't rest. But we're a whole being. And holistically, we need to actually find Sabbath for all of our lives. But sometimes work makes us busy, too busy for God. Stop. Delight and feast on the pleasure of knowing God. Worship Him and allow His beauty to saturate your soul. Rest in Him and not from Him. It's the last scripture for you today. In Mark 6, verse 31, it says this. And it was really a time that Jesus and his disciples were so busy. In fact, it says, then because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have time to eat, he said to them, Jesus said to his disciples, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. Come with me. Come to me. Come with me to a quiet place and get some rest. And what is the quiet place? In Him. In Him. In Christ. So let me end with this. This message is really specific to us all. None of us can actually say, I never get tired. None of us can say that. And none of us can actually say that I'm always on the upside of the Sabbath. In other words, I'm enjoying the fullness of everything that God has prepared for me. I struggled, even in this week, I struggled with it. I thought to myself, goodness me, and it's not about work. It's not about work, because work is not the issue, but it's that inside turmoil of weariness that comes upon us because I've got to do, I've even got to do. God makes me busy. That's not what God wants. Our Sabbath is rest in what He has done. Rest in what He has done and what He will continue to do if you continue to come to Him. So this applies to us all. We must make room for God. We must make room in our lives. And the word must is almost like a job that I've got to do. But it's really a surrender. It is just a surrender. It's just a place of giving over to God and saying, God, I come to you. I come to you. Make that the daily motion of your life. I'm coming to you, Lord, that I may find rest, that I can take your yoke upon me. For your yoke is easy and my burden will be light. So, anybody not guilty of working too hard in the Lord, spiritually, life, struggling, your marriage? Sometimes marriage is work, isn't it? It is. There is work to do, stuff to do. Those of you who are not married, you're struggling to find a wife. That's your problem. Or a husband. No, you see, it's not just about finding a wife. Finding a husband can be striving around a lot of these things, guys. And we can make jokes and we can play around with all of these things, but they're all real realities. They're realities of our life. So maybe you're not in that place. And I say maybe, because I think most of us do have that. But there could be a place where you don't even know how to go to God. And maybe this morning you've had enough. You've had enough. So I want to give you an opportunity, those of you that have never given your life to Christ. And I've got all your eyes open, so I don't want you necessarily to close your eyes for the moment, because I want you to understand that if you don't know and you don't understand the rest that I'm talking about this morning, then you don't know Christ. And I'm giving you an opportunity. Just say, yes, Lord, I want to know this Jesus that gives me rest, a rest for my soul, a rest from and a rest in something or someone that will really give me true rest. Is there anybody this morning ever given your life to Christ? Don't really understand the meaning of that. Been religious all your life. Religious as in going to, I'm only going to, but never found the place where I'm in. I'm not going anymore, I'm in the fullness of His rest. Any person? Give an opportunity. All right, no one. I'm not going to labor the point. We have one. All right, would you like to come and stand here? We want to pray with you. Good. Tell us your name.
Langton.
Langton.
Yes.
All right, Langton. You own a big farm, eh?
Yes.
He does. He works in a big farm just over here. We had a little chat just before we started the meeting this morning. Isn't it precious that the man is standing here today needing Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior? So would we all just stand? Let's stand in this place and just find, help him to find this place of rest that we've been speaking of in the Lord. And then I'm going to ask you to pray and repent before the Lord to say, all right? Thank you, Father, for Langton this morning. Thank you, Lord, for his life. A Lord, a moment where he's surrendering to the reality of knowing God, to the reality of walking without the worrisome work of religion around his life, because he wants to know the true rest. And so, Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, that wonderful name, Jesus, you died for him. You set him free from all of these things. You died for him that he can be free. We bless him in the name of Jesus and pray that he will find that true rest as he surrenders his life. So, my friend, you want to pray? You want to ask Jesus into your life? Let everybody hear it. I know it's very different. We don't normally do this. We try and make them say things that we want them to say. But right now, I want Langton to say in his own words what you want to.
Mighty God, come before your presence this morning. And I just want to say that I really want you in my life. And I really want to know you. And I really want to find rest in you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Beautiful. Amen. Well done. Awesome, guys. All right, that's super stuff. Thank you. All right, that is beautiful. Shucks. There we go. Find rest. So would you just in your heart this morning surrender? Surrender your struggle, your striving to the one that gives you rest. Would you in your own words, as we close this meeting in prayer, would you in your own words just say, Lord, I'm coming to you. I'm coming to you that I may find rest. Thank you, Father, for moments like this, Lord, and such a joy to find Langton crossing the bridge, as it were, into a new world. And we pray for him, God, that every step that he takes from here on out will be a step of rest. Finding rest, knowing rest, understanding the rest that he has in the Lord, that he doesn't have to strive, that he doesn't have to struggle through it all. And as I'm saying this as a prayer over his life, Lord, I pray this over each one of us, God, that we will not struggle in this week, that we will not struggle in our day, in our daily walk. Did you not say to us, we must come to you every day? Pray the prayer, our Father. Pray that prayer. Understand the rhythms of grace, even as we pray that prayer, that you will provide for us, that you will help us, that you will keep us safe. That we do not be entangled, Lord, with things like unforgiveness, that we will learn to forgive. And in all of those moments, God, find rest. Find rest. True rest that only you can give us. And so for each person, Lord, even as they whisper their prayers and they listen to the whisper of God, I pray that they will hear that whisper and know what they are to do and how they are to walk in the ancient paths and find rest. Thank you, God, for opportunities like this, that we can refresh our memory of knowing that you give the ultimate rest. Amen. Amen. All right. Good smile, please. Help me. You look so engrossed in the moment. Thank you very much. Bless you. Have a wonderful day. Please have some coffee with us or a biscuit if you don't want a coffee. That's what they're there for. And enjoy the time. Thank you.